Good morning, Brian Mazurowski here on WBEN with you for the next hour or so, talking about a number of things. Thanks for hanging out with me. New images, so I want to get your thoughts on this. And the price goes up of that new Bills stadium. And from what you heard yesterday, Ron Rakuia of the Bills saying that, well, you know, everything's just a couple of weeks or so away from being buttoned up, and we'll break ground and get that going. He was at the owners' meetings yesterday. Sal Capaccio spoke with him, said we're on our way, and they released some new images of the stadium. So, all right, they're on their way. This is almost done. One last swing at it. 803-0930, and you can wait. What do you think? It's now a $1.5 billion stadium. Imagine that. You start a project, or not even. You start to piece together the things, and the cost goes up. I mean, everyone would have expected that to happen. I don't know what the final cost is going to be at the end of this. I mean, what would be reasonable? You know, total project, when you're all said and done, would you be surprised if it's $1.75 billion? Probably not. Not even knowing anything about the project itself. But that's just what happens. You start something, the cost goes up, and the price of everything is going up. Eggs to feed the workers. There's, you know, $0.2 billion just there, and then you go up from there. So what do you think? You've seen the images. You by now have a good idea of what's planned for that stadium. And all the images are kind of the same thing. You see the vision. You see what it's going to look like inside as you're walking around. What do you think? Do you like what $1.5 billion buys you? Let me know. 803-0930. And then, you know, there's also this. The two completely different topics. We were talking about this earlier this morning in the 5 o'clock hour of just, you know, today in coddling news of colleges more and more going. And I have no idea how they do this, because I thought you needed, I was always told that I had to actually pay once to get my transcript from college with all the grades on it. And they always made it seem like such an official document. They made it seem very necessary. But apparently not that much, because colleges more and more are stepping away from grades. That's right, eliminating grades in college. You wonder what all that money gets you. It's not a grade. It's just a piece of paper with something on it. No longer an A through an F. Listen to this story. This is Joy Malik, who is quoted in this story, said she had to learn how to balance my finances. You know, freshman year of college, very tough. I had to learn how to balance finances. I had to learn how to balance work and school and the relationship that I'm in. The hardest part about being a new college student is not the coursework, it's learning how to be an adult. I didn't do well. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, that's what college is supposed to be. Learning how to be an adult, that's part of it. She said it took a while to detangle, you know, the grades I was getting from my move, maybe consider switching out of my major a handful of times. I mean, these sound all like, you know, just kind of common concerns of young college students that they would have in their first year. And, you know, once upon a time, we would tell students, like, you know, you'll make it through. You'll figure out what's best for you. You know, it might actually be best for you to not. You know, some people drop out of college. And that's fine, too. But I believe in you. You know, you can do it. Go power ahead. You'll improve those grades. Very important to do so. But, you know, figure out everything else. Learn to be an adult. Let's go. That was once upon a time, though. Now, experiences like these, among the reasons behind a growing movement to stop assigning grades to first-year college students and sometimes upperclassmen, too. They call it ungrading, which is, you know, just a nice way to put that, right? Ungrading instead of lowering the bar. That was their first option. They're like, I feel like lowering the bar has a negative connotation. What about ungrading? That sounds a little softer on the ears. The idea meant to ease the transition to higher education, especially for freshmen who weren't well prepared for college-level work. Well, I have another idea, and that is maybe we should prepare our kids a little bit younger for college-level work and adulthood. It's another way of attacking this rather than, I mean, do we see what's happening here? You're saying kids are ill-prepared. They haven't been, and this is a new phenomenon. They're more and more discovering people are ill-prepared for college, ill-prepared to learn to be an adult, to balance work, school, relationships, finances, and everything like that. And instead of saying, well, we need to really better prepare our kids to be able to take these challenges head on so they can become adults faster, we're saying, well, let's also knock down all the qualifications in college too, right? I mean, so if we just keep dulling down our expectations, then, you know, they'll meet them. If we have no expectations, we'll always be pleasantly surprised. I mean, you're just furthering the problem. You know, then people are going to get out of college, as if they're not already, and say, whoa, college was supposed to prepare me for the real world, and all of a sudden my boss wants results. He set a deadline and I have to finish this? Or else we didn't have F's in college. What's this F you're talking? Oh, fired. That's the F that you're saying. Yeah, something tells me this is not a great idea. Advocates, though, say the most important reason to adopt ungrading is that students have become so preoccupied with grades, they aren't actually learning. And I don't even know what that means. Like, how am I supposed to unpack that? I have no idea what any of that means. Maybe they're just so preoccupied with all the baloney. I was reading another story about Stanford. You know, it's supposed to be. Imagine if Stanford does away with grades. And that would be something. But Stanford, there is a long story about how it's just, you know, nitpicking its students over and over and over again. This was at the front of this story, that for the past several years, Stanford has required students to adhere to a student party policy. You know, think of, if you went to college or even if you didn't, I mean, you think about that age, you're 19, 20 years old, you know, what it was like to go out to a party with friends. Usually you're doing things that are kind of, you're keeping them on the down low, so to speak, right? You don't want to make a big spectacle of it. You're certainly not alerting your parents or your teachers, hey, we're going to have a big party. It's going to be wild. Everyone's going to have a lot of fun. Might be doing stuff we're not supposed to. Just want to let you know. I mean, that would never happen. But in Stanford, students have to adhere to a student party policy. I don't go to Stanford. I don't know how well this is followed. But still, just the idea that it exists. It includes a highly detailed harm reduction plan that mandates monitors and designated alcohol service areas, prohibits serving any hard liquor. I mean, party sounds bananas right off the get-go. Party hosts must also provide equally attractive non-alcoholic beverages. I know, you know, this Budweiser looks good, but so does this Fanta. To contribute to an inclusive and inviting experience, hosts are required to take an online party planning course before submitting applications of whether or not they can host the party. IDs checked at the door. Everything has to be over by midnight. And, I mean, that just sounds like a blast, doesn't it? But that's the level at which Stanford is going to monitor parties around campus. So you have that, plus no grades, and I'm wondering what kind of experience you're actually paying for when you hear about this big student debt. So I don't know. Two things on the table here. Your thoughts on ungrading, as they call it, and what could they possibly mean by being so preoccupied with grades that you're not actually learning? I mean, I get that to an extent. You know, we hear about that in, grade school, teaching to the test or something like that. But when it comes to college courses and non-standardized tests, in many cases, this is what this is talking about. How is that possible? You're preoccupied with doing good so that you don't learn? I'm not quite understanding that. So 8030930, your thoughts on ungrading. And then on a completely other subject, your thoughts, what do you think about the new Bills Stadium? We were looking at the images of this, the new Bills Stadium yesterday. It came out, right at about this time. We saw some of these images inside and outside, and you got a close look of exactly what it might be. You got your first big look inside, you know, the bowl of the stadium. And it looks pretty cool. I mean, I don't know what else you would expect. Like, at the end of the day, it looks like a football stadium because that's what it is. And, you know, you can only go in so many directions with the overall design and everything of the football stadium. But I think it does look pretty cool. It has the canopy. You can see that the much talked about canopy over the seats of people, right? That if it's raining or something like that, you probably shouldn't really get all that wet. You can see way more suites and heated seats. You can see way more areas. I'll put it that way. What do I mean by that? Now you go into the stadium and you just, you know, everyone has their seat in the bowl or the upper deck. And, you know, that's like where you are. You have your seat or your spot on the bench in the current stadium. Here, it seems to be a lot more flexible of where you are able to sit. You look at this image inside the bowl. You have a lot of seats. But there's also a lot of, you know, little carved out areas that are more than seats and more than suites, too. You can see, you know, a row of heated boxes. But then above that, you have it looks like just this general area where it's like a party deck or something like that. Underneath both the scoreboards, it looks like you have big areas where people can just hang out, watch the game. Maybe that's like standing room only. You buy a ticket, you don't have a seat, you're just in the stadium, you get to be there. You have behind the one end zone, which I don't know if this is the north or south end zone, and I don't know if, even if I did know and I said it, you would kind of be able to picture which one of those that is. But you have, instead of, you know, your row of seats, your traditional stadium seating, kind of carved out little areas where, I don't know, it's more of like a bar setting or a club feel or something like that. It's pretty interesting. You have shots of the interior, which I still don't really know what I'm looking at. The one is called a rendering of a fan area. inside the new Bill Stadium. I think it's the line to the bathroom. If I had to guess. But it looks cool. You know, it certainly looks nicer than what you're walking around, the big concrete halls nowadays. And then you have the other image of, you know, this big bar that's inside, which I personally never got the, I don't know, the appeal of. These, you know, bars inside of a stadium. And I know people hang out there. I mean, maybe you can tell me why I'm wrong. I just, if I'm going to the stadium, if I want to watch a game at a bar or hang out at a bar set, I'll go to a bar where I'll pay a third of the price for everything that, you know, I would get at the same bar inside of a stadium. I keep hearing over and over, you know, whenever we have these conversations about the new stadium, you know, new amenities, all these things. When they did the renovation to the current stadium, they added that big club on the 100 level, that big bar. It's got the nice, the best part about it is the overhead heater. You can kind of duck in there. It's covered and it's heated a little bit with the radiant heaters. But I kept hearing about, you know, people more and more want these spaces to hang out, have a drink, be able to see the game and other games on TV, you know, while they're at the stadium. And I, for the life of me, just don't understand it. I'll never get it. And maybe somebody can explain that to me. Why would you pay for a ticket to go to the game where I would think the idea is to see the game in person and then want to spend most of your time at a bar there? Or hang out there. I could say, like, maybe halftime, but I mean, let's face it, what's halftime at a Bills game? Halftime, you're lucky to be able to get in a line to grab a drink, get it in time, and then go back to your seat and be there in time for the kickoff to the second half. I don't think there's really time to hang out, sit down at a bar or a restaurant style setting and do that. I don't know why that's all the rage. I can't quite figure it out. Now, obviously, these people know more than me, and it is appealing to people because they put them in the stadiums and they get used. They're not going to put it there if nobody wants to use it. But I'm not sure I quite understand that mindset. And you would think it would run the opposite of everything we do here in Buffalo. What do we do in Buffalo? We show up early, we park our car, we take the grill out of the trunk or out of the truck bed, and we make our own food, and we fill up, and we drink, and we have a good time, and then we go into the stadium, and then we watch the game. And I know that teams don't necessarily like that because you're not making money on my sausages and my steak sandwiches and my beer that I'm bringing to the parking lot, but it's just kind of what we do. And it's just, I don't see how it goes hand in hand with like the in-stadium experiences. But anyways, that's included in one of the images that we saw yesterday. $1.5 billion. What do you think? Do you like what $1.5 billion can build? Or are you still hung up on it not having a roof? And if you had to grade the stadium design from what you've seen in all these images so far, what would it be? Personally, I'm ungrading it. I don't want to be too harsh this early in the stadium building process, but that might not be you. 803-0930, Brian Mazurowski here. I'll be back after the news on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski back here with you on WBEN. You know, we might be ungrading college students, but we don't have to hold that same standard when we're talking about our $1.5 billion buildings. What do you think? New images of the stadium yesterday and some new explainers as to what everything is about. What grade would you give it? Is that $1.5 billion well spent? Or are you still stuck up on a dome? What do you think? 803-0930 to join me on WBEN. We'll begin on the phones here. We'll go to Dave in Buffalo. All right, Dave, how's it going this morning?
It's going well. Good morning to you.
How would you grade some of these stadium images you've seen so far?
You know, I'd probably give him a B plus. The reason I'm calling, everybody's got deaf ears to this, but I think we're crazy for not putting a roofed, a domed stadium up here in Buffalo. With the amount of weather, bad weather we get in the snow, why wouldn't you put a roof on that stadium? And I think if you would look in the next 50 years, that stadium's going to be around. How many games are we going to lose because we're handicapped with our players playing in that weather?
There'd be two teams of players playing in the weather, Dave, right?
Yeah, but our team, let's just say our team stays the way they are, where we're scoring a lot of points. Well, it's more enhanced if we got a better playing field to play in. We had a game this year, I believe it was in Minnesota, where our field goal kicker kicked six field goals. We won the game. You're not going to see that happen in Buffalo on a bad weather day. You know, it's even just for the fans. I mean, did anybody ever take a poll to see if we wanted a dome stadium or an open-air stadium?
Well, Dave, that's an interesting question, and thank you for the call. 803-0930. The Bills will say, and we've heard this before, that in their surveys of fans, that fans have said they just don't want to be wet. They don't mind the cold, but they want to be covered from the elements. And you kind of have to take them at their word for it. I've taken a couple of Bills, surveys that they've sent out, but I certainly haven't seen all of them. And not everybody was asked their opinion. If you put it up to everybody, I don't know what the answer would be. I would say I don't like the cold either, probably. But I also would say, no to a dome. To your point, it's going to hamper the team. Well, maybe build the team so it's good, good at playing in the cold weather. There's an idea. If you're going to be one of a few, and you're not just one of a few, there's a bunch of teams who play outside in the cold. Make it tough to play against. The dome thing is just as a comfort. If your argument for a dome, here we go. There's a couple of arguments that have been made about the dome. And one of them stands water to me, and the other, not so much. The argument for the dome that we could be more comfortable in a dome, fans would like it better, I would much rather wear a t-shirt in a game, I stand behind it 100%. I agree it's way more comfortable. I think when you're warmer, you're louder. Obviously, the noise would get trapped in with a roof. I should say roof instead of dome. Nobody makes domes anymore. I mean, they might, but you would be talking about a roof, really. That argument, I see it. I like it. I understand it. It would not be enough for me to say, my comfort level at a game, that would not be enough for me to say, I don't want any more snowy Bills home games, because I like that too. I'm like what, for the last 10 years we've heard, maybe not 10 years just yet, but for the last several years, we've heard that Terry Pegula's preference is for open air in the elements, the way football should be played. And I'm of that mindset too. And, standing out in the cold, that's kind of what happens as a result of it, but that's what I like. I agree with that. I like the look of it. I like the feel of it. I like this new stadium's going to have natural grass too. I like grass stains on the jersey. Make it a little muddy every now and then. The snow falling. I think it adds to the enjoyment of the game. And I put that above my preference to be warm and cozy at a game. Argument number two, I think, holds no water. And that is that with a roof on the stadium, you know, the stadium will get used so much more than the current stadium does. And I just think that that is ignoring the realities of Buffalo, New York. And the thing I've said a million times on the show, that we love to compare ourselves to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Cleveland and Minneapolis, all these cities that are two or three times the size of us. I know we don't like to think about it, but they are. We like to think that we're going to hold the big events, and everyone said, well, the Final Four is going to come here. We'll get the Super Bowl. No, we're not. I mean, you've heard us talk to these people. Visit Buffalo, Niagara. We don't have the hotel capacity to host the NHL All-Star Game. We're not getting any big events that would go in the stadium. It's not going to happen. Just looking at big events that would go into a stadium, I mean, like, what are we talking about? There's not many. There's some concerts. We have the concerts. They're coming here. There's not many more concerts, stadium concerts, coming to Buffalo than what we already get at the current stadium. Because there's not many stadium tours, period. We're already getting a lot of them. A dome isn't really going to change that. Maybe McCartney would play. I still think he'll play. He loves playing new buildings. I think he'll play at the new stadium. You know, he's still around and kicking in 2026. I think he'll be there. You know, maybe instead of Syracuse in the colder weather months, he would have came to Buffalo for the dome. But aside from that, I really don't think there's much that you're missing out on. Which brings me to something yesterday. You know, the county executive was talking about the stadium. You know, was talking about the price going up. Shouldn't surprise anybody. And he pointed out, and it was said last year, and it's been said a million times, the price, of course, is going to go up. And he said that all cost overruns, borne by the Bills. The Bills cover all the cost overruns. I mean, that was said a year ago. It was said again yesterday. And I, as long as it's reported on, which the county executive, you know, made that information yesterday that the price has gone up, as long as this process takes, I'm expecting we're going to hear that five more times. The price of building it's gone up. He also said this, which is a borderline, I don't want to say irresponsible. Irresponsible is a big word. You know, it's like, makes you think it's like a life or death scenario. But it does give people the wrong idea. He said about the renderings released yesterday, quote, I think you get a better idea of the width of the stadium in these most recent renderings, which really show that it could be used for soccer, FIFA standards. I think it gives you a better understanding that this will be a multi-sport stadium, not just for the football team. What are you doing? That's my immediate response to this. Now, look, if you know me, you know I'm a soccer fan. I was up late last night watching Team USA, watching Pepe chip in that goal in Orlando around El Salvador. We're going to the Nations League Finals. I'll be out there this weekend watching Bayern and Dortmund play. I'm out there all the time. I love soccer. I would love nothing more than for big-time important games to be played right here in Buffalo. But let me tell you, they're not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that there will never be a soccer game at the stadium, but oh my goodness, the way that we're talking about it, it keeps getting brought up. I mean, again, yesterday, without anybody even asking the question, like, it was just brought up on its own. Oh, we have FIFA standards. It's going to be used for soccer. No soccer game is being played in a 60,000 person stadium in Buffalo, New York. Period. Maybe once. But that's it. It doesn't happen. And I will tell you that as a soccer fan. It doesn't happen. Now, that's not to say that soccer games don't happen at big stadiums. They do. The World Cup is coming here in just a few years. And they'll play at football stadiums all across the country. They're not going to go to Buffalo. Because if we can't hold an NHL All-Star game because we don't have the infrastructure and hotel capacity, we're not going to host the World Cup. So you can cross that off the list. There are big, you know, final matches being played. One in Vegas this year. Another happened the same in Vegas last year. Those are not happening in Buffalo, New York. Again, let's be real about who we are. I have as much pride in being from Buffalo as anybody. It's not happening in Buffalo, New York. It's happening in Las Vegas. Do you notice the difference? There are other games that come, you know, last year, Manchester City, Bayern, they came and they played at Lambeau Field and filled the stadium. It was a really cool sight to see. They've done it before. They've gone to Michigan Stadium. Manchester United played at Michigan Stadium, had like 100,000 people there. And once in a while, you'll see those teams come around. They'll do football stadiums a couple times a year. I highly doubt, but I wouldn't say it won't happen at least once. You know, maybe it'll happen once, but I highly doubt they will ever come to Buffalo, New York. They did go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, but that was to go to the historic Lambeau Field, which is not going to be the new Bills Stadium. Okay, like, do you see the trend here? When the United States plays, do you know where they played last night in this game? They played in Orlando in a soccer-specific stadium that was built just for soccer that has like 30,000 seats. When the U.S. plays all their games, that's where they play, these soccer stadiums. When the MLS looks for new teams, you know where they put them? In big cities that have soccer-specific stadiums. They don't like to put soccer teams in big football stadiums. You know why? Because then it looks empty. They have all these new teams in Nashville. And, you know, Nashville's building a new football stadium. You know what else they built? A new soccer stadium for their soccer team. Because they know that the two teams are not going to play in the same place. Maybe like a couple games will be played here over the course of 10 years. But like, can we stop kidding ourselves with this? It's going to be a multi-sport stadium. No, it's not. This stadium is the Bills' new stadium. It's going to be for the Buffalo Bills. And personally, I'm fine with that, and I don't need to justify it by saying, oh, well, also the Penn State volleyball team is going to play at the new stadium, and the Chicago Cubs, we're going to bring them here. It's a football stadium for the football team. And that's that. And there might be a possibility that, like, some game ends up being played at the stadium. But don't count on it, because generally speaking, it doesn't happen at any big stadium. So I don't know why this was a point being made yesterday. It drives me nuts every time I hear it. Because people get this like pie in the sky idea. Like U.S. soccer, when they put the U.S. team, you know, the biggest draw in America, Team USA, when they put them on the field, they don't put them in big stadiums anymore. The entire last cycle of games, you look over the last 3 years, they haven't put the national team in a football stadium outside of the final of a major tournament. Major tournaments that are not having their final in Buffalo, New York. I'm sorry to throw cold water on everybody, but it just doesn't happen. And it irks me every time it's brought up. A multi-sport. It's a football stadium. that will also hold some concerts and probably some other events inside of the building. You know, you can have your business conference there or something like that. And that's what it is. And that's perfectly fine. But there's no need for this, like, outrageous thinking, right? That all we're going to get all these games. The Olympics are going to be in Buffalo because we have a new stadium. I mean, come on. The UB soccer team that doesn't exist anymore. Come on. Anyway, sorry. I went off on a little tangent there, but it was brought up again. I have looked at the width of the stadium. It is a tad wider. It can fit a soccer field, but don't count on it happening anytime. And they've said, the Bills have said, too, this is not on the Bills. The Bills, every time, look, we're building this for football. We want your football experience to be top of the line. We, at the current stadium, you are, if you're sitting, you know, in the front row along the wall in the stadium somewhere, you're like right on top of the action. They said, we don't want to lose that. It's going to be a little bigger to allow for that other stuff if we need it, but we want to keep the football experience grade A. 803-0930 on our text board this morning. Someone's saying, I just hope the new stadium's all electric. It's not. Someone else, why think outrageously? It only cost us $1 billion. Like, that's the... It is a big sum of money. It is, obviously. Breaking $1.5 billion is a big sum of money. In the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about the state budget, it is a drop in the bucket. The state is, you know, the public $850 million, the state $600 million. Think about this: $600 million to a stadium. You think that's a big? The state spending $700 million. Subsidizing electric vehicle chargers. There's about $500 million in heat pump subsidies over the next couple of years. $1 billion for small-scale solar projects and more. I mean, like, these are just, you never hear about that kind of stuff. But those are all built into the budget, too. I do, as I'm going through the text, I want to apologize. Monster trucks. Maybe. I don't know if you'd necessarily want that. It would kind of tear up the field a little bit, but my son would love, I think, to see. It might be a little loud for him now. He'd have to wear the headphones, but he would love to see Gravedigger out there doing flips. He would get a kick out of it. That's an event I would love to see. And then somebody else, I totally agree with this point, and I'll argue with, you know, all the economics, you know, quote-unquote experts all day long of whoever texted in that the Bills mean more to the area than people want to discuss. Fandom, events during last year, during bad times, bringing people together. The stadium is great for that. There's only 32 teams, and we have one. Absolutely. And I'll say there is a tremendous, you don't just have to look at dollars and cents, and you shouldn't. I think there's a huge benefit to having the team here and having the stadium. And I think that's enough. Like, that's why you don't need to pretend like we're going to host the World Cup in Buffalo, New York. Because the investment was good enough on its own. I'm happy enough keeping the Bills here. That's good enough for me. Worth it. There's going to be more disappointment when you keep talking about all these things and they never happen. Anyways, I'll be back here tomorrow, bright and early. We've got David, of course, coming up after the news with Randy and Joe Beamer following him. Grade-wise, ungrading, as I said before. Too early to give a grade. I'm ungrading the stadium right now. We'll wait until it's a sophomore at least to be putting some letters on that. Thanks for hanging out with me, Brian Mazurowski on WBEN.